Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is August 25th, 2026, and the time is 5:30 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note this meeting's being live-streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education and another that may be used during any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge that you may be captured on video. As a reminder, if you wish to address the board during public commentary, please make sure you fill out one of the forms that's located on the table back there to my right, or to my left, your right, and hand it in to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
We have none tonight, sir.
Can I get a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I make a motion we approve the agenda as presented.
Do I have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries. I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his comments.
All right, so my first set of comments. So each month, you saw we had a Learning Bank with us last month, last meeting. And so tonight's meeting, we have Courtney Bogdan, our Monroe Virtual Academy director with us, and then James Drew is here to support her. And so Courtney has been doing this position for how many years?
This is the start of year 17.
Year 17. And so she is a huge asset to Monroe Public Schools in this role and her knowledge. And so tonight she's going to share with you all that happens with our virtual academy. So Courtney, if you want to come on up and the board, and this is your time, ma'am. Thank you for coming.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Like I said, if you don't know me, I'm Courtney Bogdan, and today began my year 17 with Monroe Virtual. So we like to say that virtual provides another option for families that need flexible schedules but still want to earn their education from Monroe Public Schools. We have currently three staff members, myself, the director and teacher, and then we have a special education teacher, Megan Ilstrup, and Bart O'Loughlin is coming back to us this year. So we are currently located at Orchard Center High School. This is our third location. We started at South Monroe Town Site, then moved to Riverside, and now this is year three with us being at Orchard Center High School. So we have right now two classrooms at the very end of the hallway so that our students are pretty much separated from the Orchard Center High School students, so they have their own space. This is just kind of a recap of last year. Throughout the school year, we had approximately 221 students enrolled. Most of those students were secondary. We had a few elementary students here and there, but the majority of our students are secondary students. As you can see, we had 42 middle schoolers, 23 ninth graders, 36 10th graders, 39 11th graders, and 50 seniors. I also served this year 31 students at Monroe High School taking either an Edmentum or Michigan Virtual course during their part of the school day. We also provide dual enrollment for students. So just like they would at the high school or at Orchard, if a student is interested, they can take a dual enrollment course or a direct college course. Last year, I believe we had three separate students taking, I think I had seven classes total through the college, which was nice. We also offer work-based learning. I guess it helps with my cert that I can do the work-based learning. So we had visits. I had visits with Carrie for one of my students. I had a student at a pharmacy, a student at Pet Supplies Plus. I've had students at Marco's. So just giving our students the same opportunities that they could have at Monroe High or at Orchard, but in a different environment. We do have two current cosmetology students. I've had many in the past. So when they finish their high school degree, they also finish their cosmetology license. I have a National Honor Society student, a yearbook student. So we try to allow the student to pick the course that they want to take throughout their high school. Maybe the traditional, you know, 8-hour school day doesn't work for everyone. And we want to provide them with the same opportunities that they could get throughout the district. This year, we had 26 students receive the Monroe High School diploma, and we had 18 students receive the Orchard Center High School diploma. And we allow the students, for the most part, to choose which path that they would like to take. We encourage, sometimes if a student comes in that is credit deficient, we encourage maybe let's do the Orchard diploma or let's look at what your goals are. And each student sits down with me. We go over a personal plan and try to discuss what their goals are for their 4 years. Do they have post-secondary plans and what they want to do so that we can pick courses and a schedule that will help them achieve those goals. So currently this year, we are using two online learning platforms. In the past, we have used up to 4 or 5 at a time. Right now, we have students that are taking classes through Edmentum, or they're taking classes through Michigan Virtual. And it's really a preference of what the student is more interested in. I will say that students that are high achievers tend to choose the Michigan Virtual courses because they do offer advanced placement courses. And a lot of those are NCAA approved. So for our athletes, who I currently have one at U of M as a gymnast, they're able to continue their high school with NCAA eligibility and still be a virtual student. We used to use University of Nebraska Lincoln. That has come a long way, where they mailed you textbooks and they mailed you paper tests, and we had to mail them back. So things have come a long way in all the years here. But currently, this is what we use. We changed things up a little bit this year compared to the years past, where we always tried to align with Monroe High School, where they were on semesters, they take 6 classes per semester. But we found that sometimes that's a little overwhelming for our students, taking 6 classes at a time. So last year we started breaking the semester down into sessions. So each student will take 2 classes per session, but that allows them to still complete the 6 classes needed per semester to earn the appropriate number of credits to stay on track with graduation, but they're only having to focus on 2 at a time. Seems to work out really well, and it works out well for us as teachers, where we try to pick, like for instance, the start of the school year, every student will be taking their grade level ELA course and their grade level history. Aside from seniors, they'll take their senior math class to start with. And then they'll move on to a math class and an elective, and then a science class and an elective, so that they have the choice, but we're still providing them with a structure that we want them to follow. What's next here? So seat time and requirements, that has changed quite a bit over the years. In year one with Monroe Virtual, I had 12 students. They were all expelled or had dropped out. So those students were required to be in a classroom with me for 5 hours a week, mandatory, no exceptions. And that worked out really well for a long time. We have grown tremendously from that first year. We were upwards of 600 during COVID, and we have steadily gone back down to a more manageable number. So we hover between 150 and 220, I would say, each year on average. And we have found that the students no longer need to sit in the classroom for 5 hours because they say, what do I do? What do I do when I'm here? Well, you can work on your stuff, you can get support, and they're like, well, I already have it done. So we still want to maintain that communication, that relationship with the students. So what we have done instead is say that, okay, you're on your own. You can do your stuff at home. You can do your lessons. You can do your quizzes at home. But at the end of each unit, when there's a big test, that needs to be done in the classroom, proctored by the teacher. And that seems to have worked out really well. And with the sessions broken, or the semester broken down into the sessions, we end up seeing the students usually once a week or every other week. So we still have that relationship with them. The students are available to come into the classroom whenever they choose. So it's not saying you can't come and work. You're welcome to come in. You need a quiet space to do your schoolwork. I know I would be distracted at home if I had a TV or I could cook dinner or do laundry. So sometimes the students prefer they come in, they do their work, and they leave. So they're not tied to that all day, every day schedule, but they can come and use the supports when needed. So student expectations are a big thing and something that we have been working on really hard these past couple of years, I would say since COVID. Attendance and participation has been a struggle for us. And we really want to encourage the students to come in, build the relationship with the teacher, understand that, yes, this is flexible and it's at your own pace, but if you're not logging in and completing work daily, you're going to fall behind and you're going to struggle to catch up. So we say, log on for 1 hour a day at minimum. We can now use attendance. So if you're not doing that 1 hour a day, you'll hear from us. We want you to complete the assignments in order. We used to have students say, well, I don't want to do that one. I'm going to pick through this one, and I'm only going to do the ones I like. So we've tried to put a stop to that so that they're getting the most out of the curriculum that we are providing for them by doing things in order. Like I said earlier, I sit down with all of the students and we complete an educational development plan for them, and we update that yearly so that if their goals change, we can change the classes based on those goals. And then we encourage them, regularly check your email, your Google Classroom, the Edmentum platform, and we ask that they maintain a respectful online presence. Do your own work. Engage with your teachers. We are fine working with your classmates as long as you're not submitting the exact same assignment. Doesn't happen often. So when I have a parent call or a student call interested in the program and they say, I think I want to do it, these are the questions I ask. Do you have regular access to a computer with internet? Do you take pride in your learning? Do you advocate for yourself when you need help, or do you just sit there and wait for somebody to come to you? Are you comfortable calling me? Which I know for these students in a tech generation, calling is difficult. But they've gotten used to it, like call me and ask me a question. And I do have a district cell phone, so they're at home texting me, FaceTiming me, hey, can you help me with this? I'm stuck on this number. Are you self-disciplined? Are you motivated? Are you committed to keeping up with your classes and completing them all? So if they say, yes, I think I can do all that, and then we kind of proceed with the next steps of enrollment. So I think this might be the last one, maybe? Yep. So I just want to say a couple things. I know the virtual program for a while had a stigma that it was all the bad kids, all the expelled kids, that's who go there. We have far moved away from that, and we are in the age where students might not want to be in school all day, every day. They like to work. They have family obligations. I have a lot of students with anxiety. I have a lot of students who, for instance, this year I have one that's a big-time trap shooter, and he goes to all kinds of competitions. So he can't be in class all day, every day. But he still wants that Monroe Public Schools opportunity. He still wants to participate in sports, in graduation, dances, clubs. And this gives him that opportunity. I've had a lot of dancers in the past who have to travel in dance competitions. I had an ice skater. A few motocross riders, and currently I have 3 gymnasts that come to school part of the day, and then they do the rest of their day online. So we try to be flexible with what the students need while still providing them with all the opportunities that Monroe Public Schools offers.
All right, Courtney. Well, thank you so much. Great presentation. Yeah. And so now I just want to open up to our board members. She probably put a lot of things on the table. Is there any questions for Courtney? She's 17 years of experience, so tap in.
We all know I have questions, but thank you. It was a great presentation. I learned a lot. I truly did not know all that. Probably should, but I didn't, honestly. We talked about the average students of 150 to 220. Mm-hmm. Does that fluctuate throughout the year? So
all the time.
What's your average number? Do you know?
So, like, when I left the building today, I think I had 120. I would say the second or third week in school, I'll be close to 160, 170. Just because they all go back to school, they're like, oh, I forgot I wanted to do virtual. Oh, I don't know. I can't do this every day, all day thing anymore. And then the change in semester is also a huge, huge time for us. Usually between 30 and 50 new students at the semester mark, especially we have a lot of seniors who are like, I have to take a full schedule if I come here, but if I go to virtual, I can take only what I need and work, but still participate in everything. So I think it really depends on the student, and I think the students that don't care about the social part of school, this is the greatest thing ever for them.
Right, right. Because they can't go back and forth.
They can.
Oh, you can go back to Monroe High for a while, or Orchard for a while, then back into virtual.
Absolutely.
And the classes correlate with each other?
Yes and no. They're not going to get the exact same thing in the exact same order that they would at Monroe High or at Orchard or at the middle school. But we ask that when a student enrolls, that they stay for the entire term.
Yeah.
That way they have the term, they can get their grades, we're not flip-flopping and losing credits. And then if they want to go back, they can go back. But I have the same thing, you know, at the high school. We started at the high school, we really thought we could do it, and then, nope, never mind, we need to come. So,
right.
Yep.
Right. And but at home, they only have to do an hour a day?
At minimum. Yeah.
But.
So to be counted as present and actively participating in their course, we put that 1 hour threshold on it.
Okay.
We say that with your classes, you should be spending 50 to 60 minutes per day per class working on your material, because that's pretty equivalent to what you would spend in the classroom.
Yeah.
Now, some classes you're not going to spend as much time because they're electives and they're maybe not so content heavy, but those English, math, science classes, you're going to spend more time on those than you would others.
I say that because one time in college, I thought it would be nice to do an online course. Oh, my. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of it. So, all right. Do you have any IEPs and 504s that you have to meet the student need for?
Yep.
Okay.
And we do our best. We do say that when a student with an IEP inquires about virtual, we hold a meeting with our special ed team and the current special ed team and look at the IEP and the services needed and determine if we can provide those services at our building before we say, yeah, come on over.
I could see that being challenging if they're at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But they do come in, and those special ed students that have required number of minutes in their IEP, we schedule those in person with the teacher.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yep.
How are they counted during our count days.
That is my least favorite time of the year. So for us, because it's a seat time waiver program, so the students are giving up their seat in the traditional classroom, we have to submit to the state a two-way communication log between us and the student for 4 weeks during the count time. So it's not count day for us, it's count month. Mm-hmm. So in October, we'll start, and we have a log that we complete and we fill out. Now, this is the same thing that we're doing all the time, but during count, it's logged to the T every single day. Like, their attendance matches, the log book matches what they're doing in class, and I can't just say, worked in class. No. It needs, you know, what did you work on? What did you do today? Yes. Yes. So it's stacks that we hand in twice a year.
Yeah, because you're getting per pupil funding the same as you would any student. Yeah. So
it's a requirement of the
do the math on that one.
So that's what the state requires. So that's what you put together for.
Yep.
Courtney, do you partner at all with Trojan Academy, because you have a lot of similarities?
So more about back and forth with students than anything else. They have some students that don't take advantage of all of the supports that they offer, and so they kind of say, hey, maybe you want to look at this student, and in turn, I will say, okay, this student is not doing well with what we are offering, so maybe we could try to look at a flip-flop of a student, not as much anymore.
I would say that, right, so Trojan Academy, the seats are limited.
Yeah.
So when Jen or Steve have a student who is doing all of the work but not taking advantage of what Trojan Academy has to offer, maybe they'll free up that seat and have that conversation with Courtney. You know, mm-hmm. if Trojan Academy is an in-person program, but a student is still getting their courses delivered virtually, so they could complete everything at home, not take advantage of the supports that Trojan Academy has. So Courtney might get some of those kids.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Anything else?
Could I say one thing? I would just like to thank one. I would like to thank Courtney. Our program, you know, she's grown it over 17 years. I think a lot of districts would be jealous of Monroe Virtual School, MVHS, whatever we call it. We throw around a lot of names, but we're grateful to have Courtney, and I think, like I said, a lot of districts would be jealous of, you know, what we're able to offer our kids.
Thank you.
I would concur then. So thank you so much,
and welcome
to your 17th year.
All right, thank you.
That's all I have tonight for my first set of comments, sir.
Okay, Brian, board commentary for agenda items only. Do we have any?
No.
Okay, thank you. Next is board discussion action items. We have staffing, contracted services, resignation, and tenure reports. Is there any discussion?
We have some new staff members. So how this works, gang, is if you're a new staff member, we're going to start there. What you do is you come up to the microphone, introduce yourself, where you're teaching, who you brought with you, all of the good stuff, and if you have more than one person, choose wisely on who you call out first, okay? And also tell us, like, what brought you here. So let's see, who's going to be our first courageous person? Awesome.
Okay, so I am Chloe Maurer. I will be teaching at the high school this year. I will be ninth grade math. I brought my mom, my dad, and my boyfriend.
Oh, you chose wisely.
And then what was the last one you said?
Really what brought you here, and then what's your other job you have at Monroe?
So I'm also the volleyball coach at Monroe. I saw you guys a couple of weeks ago,
I talked to you then.
And then what brought me here to Monroe Public Schools?
Where'd you go to school?
So I went to Monroe Public Schools. I grew up, went through everything here. And then I started coaching, loved that. So I wanted to become a teacher because I loved the impact I had on kids. And just being in Monroe, I think it had a lot to offer to students, to myself. So I wanted to come back and be able to give what I had to other kids.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So come around. We have a gift for you. And then next up the bag.
Thank you.
Yes.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Okay, so who's next?
Are we standing? Can we sit?
Let's sit.
Thank you. I feel weird standing that whole time.
Hi, I'm Sage Schnorberger. This is going to be my fifth year teaching, and I'm going to be teaching kindergarten at Raisinville. I went to Raisinville as an elementary student, so my mom is Kendra Safaro, so many of you probably know her, but so that's kind of what brought me here, and yeah, I'm very excited, wow. And I brought Scott with me, so.
So before you move on, is it easy to call him Scott rather than Mr. Hopper, or was he even at Raisinville when you were there?
He was my middle school teacher, actually. Oh, so
it's still Mr. Hopper then. Even
Yeah.
Okay.
We go back and forth, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep, and then so congratulations to our new hires. Is anyone with us that received tenure tonight? Nobody, no one is there. So to our new staff members, congratulations, and we wish you the best. And it's less than a week away, first day in the classroom. So here we go. Okay. That's all I have tonight, sir.
Okay. Next is our consent agenda. Are there any items the board wishes to move off consent agenda and move over to new business? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
I move to present the consent agenda items B2A. Is that all? Yeah, 2B and the consent agenda items approved as recommended.
Do I have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Sabatino?
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes, and the motion carries. Next is new business, but before we move into new business, I want to provide some background and context on the agenda items. All the items on the agenda, which are primarily policies tonight, have been discussed in depth at prior work sessions or addressed in our weekly board briefs. So we may move through these quickly, and there's quite a list of policies tonight. We want everybody to know that we've done our due diligence and thoroughly reviewed these prior to the meeting tonight. And as a reminder, our work sessions are open to the public and are live streamed as well. I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the first reading of policy, Board Policy 5530, Drug Prevention.
All right, well, thank you very much, sir. So, the Board of Education has worked on this policy, and it's been provided to our board members. So it is our recommendation the Board of Education approve our revised policy 5530, drug prevention. And I'll get into more description after the motion and support. Okay. At that point in time. Drug prevention policy as presented, sir, as a first
reading.
You got an error.
Can I get a motion for the first reading of Board Policy 5530? Drug prevention, zero tolerance.
I'll make a motion that we accept the drug prevention, zero tolerance as presented.
First reading.
Okay.
Do I have support?
Support.
Okay, discussion?
Just a reference on F, the rest of the sentence at the back should be lined out. It was originally lined out, I guess, when you made the statements. Students who violate the blah, blah, blah should all be lined out. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that until just now.
So if it's okay, can I take a couple minutes right here?
Yeah.
Thank you. So to our students who are all watching, Board of Education has taken and done a lot of work, and so this policy is now called Drug Prevention and Zero Tolerance. And the items that were changed is that subject to Section 1310D, and that section right there has to do with the seven criteria we have to look at for a suspension or expulsion of a student. And so we also put in here that this is a zero tolerance policy. And so when we get in down to the And so everything else stayed the same inside there. We go down to letter C. We captured from last night, and we struck out the thing, the words wrong, and switched it to harmful and illegal. Letter D, it gets into the MPS Student Handbook Code of Conduct. Letter E, and I'm going to read the whole thing here. We are required to include a clear statement that disciplinary sanctions up to and including expulsion shall be imposed on students who violate the code of conduct consistent with the district's zero tolerance policy as described within this policy. I thought we had struck that out.
Yeah, that should have been struck out.
It should have been. I don't know why.
Yep.
The line, if you notice on letter F, the line moved to
we
the
already got, yep. Yeah, we got that.
Well, I'm looking at letter E right now.
Yeah. Consistent with the district.
The code of conduct.
I would just say consistent with this policy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had that worded out. I'm not sure what happened. My apologies. We worked on that this morning. Code of conduct. Oh, consistent with the district's. No, I know we took out the words consistent with the district's tolerance policy.
This policy.
Yeah, I think we just said code of conduct. We took that whole thing out.
Consistent with this policy. I don't even think you need
it. No, we didn't. Darla, that was exactly what we had. I don't know what happened here. So back to it. Shall be imposed on students who violate the code of conduct and description of those sanctions. So basically it's in the student handbook. Include a clear statement to students who violate the district's code of conduct as referenced above. Shall be referred to law enforcement. And that's it there.
Oh, yeah. I missed that.
The lines just moved on us.
I was like, I know we didn't.
We had it.
I know we
in the email
that.
One that we did have it right.
It was in the email. I just pulled the email up, and it's correct in there.
Yep.
Yeah. For some reason, when it printed, it moved the
line. Yep.
We'll just make a note of it's, that we know
it. Yep, good. Already struck out. And then down below, we corrected all of them to read code of conduct standards, and then we struck out the remaining lines that the board requested last night. I think the big point to all of this is it draws out that we shall, so we're imposing consequences that we went over last night. There's two steps of consequences in our system. And then there's that range of from in-school detention to out-of-school suspension up to expulsion based on the occurrence for you. I applaud the board for the work on this policy and know that even though this is a first reading, this adoption and the student handbook will be already there next week, so it's not we don't have to we're not going to wait for that point there. So,
okay,
are we going to reference?
Jamie did mention that the email that was sent out with the corrections is correct.
Oh, good.
The lines in the right places. So
the right strikeouts. Everything.
Yeah. So we're just catching up with Jamie.
We're just the printed version.
The printed version looks yucky. Okay.
Are we going to address the distribution, sale, and intent that law?
So, as I was saying earlier, after this meeting, I was going to tell David that on the back there for distribution, sale, and intent to deliver, one of those bullets has to have on there mandatory referral to law enforcement.
So, the way it's written, it references steps 1 through 5 previously.
Where?
Oh, I see it down there.
Yeah.
So I can add it.
The only reason I say that is if you look at the first sentence, it talks about long-term suspension. It says such conduct shall result in long-term suspension or recommendation for expulsion regardless. And then shall be handled only because you separated them out.
Let's we'll flip-flop that. So it references steps 1 through 5 and then that's the results of what that looks like.
Yeah.
There, so we'll flip-flop the sentence.
Just so it's clear that that's part of it.
Okay, we can do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional discussion on the policy? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Scavadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
So our next set of policies as a board is it's a whole packet of policies. And so it is a recommendation administration board to accept these policies as a first reading as presented. Policy 1422, non-discrimination, equal employment and opportunity, and anti-harassment is a replacement of policy. Policy 1422.02, non-discrimination based on genetic information and employee is rescinded. 1623, section 504 ADA, prohibition against disability and discrimination in employment, technical correction only. 1622, anti-harassment is rescinded. 2210, curriculum development revision. 2260.01, section 504, ADA prohibition against discrimination based on disability, technical correction only. 2412, homebound instructional program is a revision. 3122, non-discrimination, equal employment opportunity and anti-harassment is a replacement policy. 3122.02, non-discrimination based on genetic information of employee, rescinded. 3123, section 504, ADA prohibition against disability discrimination in employment, technical correction. 3362, anti-harassment is rescinded. 4122, non-discrimination, equal employment opportunity and anti-harassment replacement policy. 412202, non-discrimination based on genetic information of employee, rescinded policy. 4123, section 504, ADA prohibition against disability discrimination in employment is a technical correction. 4162, controlled substance and alcohol policy for commercial motor vehicle, CMV, drivers and other employees who perform safety and sensitive functions is a revision. 4362, anti-harassment is rescinded. 5120, assignment within district is a revision. 5460, graduation requirements revision. And 7541, electronic data processing disaster recovery plan rescinded.
There's a list. Can I get a motion regarding the first reading of the board policies as stated by the superintendent?
Are you making it? I move to accept the policies that Andy just read off.
As stated.
As stated, the first reading of the board policies.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion?
Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome, ma'am.
That was a mouthful.
Yep.
As this is a first reading, sometimes there's things that come up. I wanted to look at policy 1422, and after I did this policy and looked through it again, and then I looked at the documents that were submitted last night related to other non-discrimination policies, there's a lot of discrepancy in the way things appear to be handled. They didn't flow together. So I'm going to reference these real quick, and you can tell me if you want to look at it or you want to move on. So on page, it is page 11/20, which would be 1422. This would be page 13. I didn't know that, well, maybe let me rephrase that. I just want to clarify that the option chosen says the CO may serve simultaneously as the investigator and the decision maker. So I think, you know, I want to be aware that how this policy reads, because I'm going to bring up what comes after that and the succession of how the process works. And I think when we're combining too many roles, it makes this unclear, and I think what makes this unclear is we don't have a nice flow chart that says how this goes, and it really becomes ambiguous. Yeah, well, and then in this paragraph that starts, in circumstances when the CO, and then it goes down to it, it says, serving as an investigator / decision maker in one specific case, the CO shall, in consultation and approval of the superintendent or board president as appropriate. I think it should be board president. I don't think that it should be an as appropriate. I think if we're going to include that, then that should be included. That's, any thought on that? Anybody know where I'm at? Mm-hmm. You care?
Good.
I just, there's one thing that's consistent in this policy that I didn't realize is the board involvement in this is pretty much non-existent. So I think there needs to be board oversight. That's what we do. We provide oversight. So I think if you're in consultation, that the board president should be included there, not just as appropriate. That's my thought. Any other thoughts?
The reason why it states as appropriate is if the superintendent is, for example, in this, is the one that's making the claim or something, and is a part of the whole investigation, then the superintendent would not be a part of it. You'd actually have your board president be the that go to. That's the why.
Yeah, I think
that's appropriate.
I think as we're going to find out throughout this policy, the absence of the board president's involvement in any of this, the absence of the board in an appeal process in any of this, really becomes problematic into the centralization of the control of the investigation. And, you know, even when you go to a court of law, everything is done in a fair way so that everything is clear and people aren't serving simultaneous roles. You know, if you're being said guilty of a crime, I don't think you would want the prosecutor, your attorney, to be your defendant and your prosecutor. I don't know how that would work. So
Andy, if I can ask, is what you were saying as appropriate? Because what if the board president were named?
So it's the opposite direction. It's the opposite direction that I'm that the board, the superintendent is named as either complainant and or is in the other role. So that would be the
complainant. Maybe we should read the rest of the sentence. Secure one or more independent third parties to serve as the investigator or decision maker. I think that if we're going to hire a third party decision maker, as we have seen that has recently came up with us, that went to the board. So if you're going to bring in a third party or an independent or third parties to serve as investigator decision maker, I think the board should be involved and know what's going on with that.
Should we pull this off the first reading then and put that back?
We can.
Yeah. Because it becomes even more ambiguous.
I think it would make more sense because if we're going to do that, we should take time to do that.
It's going to take more discussion.
There's all this.
So we would, I think, need an amendment to
pull
that. Friendly amendment. If someone wants to put that forth to pull
I will amend my motion to pull policy 1422, non-discriminant employment, equal employment opportunity, anti-harassment, and move to a work session.
Yep, we're going to also pull 3122 because we have three of them that are the same, please.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
do you have another one that you're looking at? Because if you do, then...
So the curriculum requirements, I wanted to reference the last paragraph in the curriculum requirements so that we understood what that is being added because there's a lot of oversight the board needs to provide in
that's
that.
That's 2210.
Yeah, we'll need to get a lot of structure put out based on the last paragraph of that. So I just want the board to be aware before we do these policies that is included in there. And we probably...
Can I step in quick?
Yep.
Yes.
So go back to the... Yep, sorry.
Yeah, back to the beginning. So if right now we take 1422 and 3122 and 4122 and pull those off, the other policy that we're going to rescind, we cannot pull those off because those are currently our policies. So okay. So we actually have to pull those, the ones that all say rescind, leave them alone until we get those three figured out.
Okay.
So we have to leave them on as a first reading?
No,
because that's a rescind.
They're the rescinded ones, so they're currently our policies. So if you start to begin that process,
we don't touch those.
Then we go to the next board meeting, they're pulled. Okay. We no longer have that policy, so that we would need to keep those on until these other three policies are adjusted. So
the rescind policies that go with those.
Okay, so let's go through the list of what we're pulling.
Yep, so 1422. The next one down is 1422.002, 1662. Keep going down through here. 1662. Then we're at 3122.02, 3362. 4122.02, and what was that number again? 4362. Thank you.
So in those policies, and you look at the policy we reviewed and we got the letter for last night on relooking at a policy, I think that we need consistency when we're dealing with non-discrimination, whether it's whoever's involved. I think it needs to be consistent. I think it needs to follow through so everybody's getting the same treatment in the same way and the same option, and it's very ambiguous in those policies.
Which one are you talking about, ma'am?
So if we could have like a flow chart.
The 2260.
Oh, I got you.
2260 from last night.
I got you now.
Yeah.
Oh, we went flow charts first.
So, well.
I got that. I was already.
Yeah, but I think that if we're going to do something, it helps to do it all the same way.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. On the curriculum policy, I just want everybody to be aware.
That's 2210 we're talking about right now.
Policy 2210, curriculum development.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of the policy, there is a note in green that has been added.
2210, is that on here?
Should be.
Where is it at? I know I have it. Must have clipped it together with something. So I just want the board to be aware, at the end of that policy, there's a big green note. And at the end of that, there talks about the board shall adopt individual courses. And it goes on to all of the things. It's very detailed how the list is supposed to be done for all these courses. So I just want to make sure as we're securing this policy that we understand that we'll need to put all this in place because the policy states it. Fair enough? So we'll have to add that on. Okay. Questions?
Would that be the course catalog or?
Well, it says the board shall adopt a list of individual courses first.
Which will be the course catalog.
The list shall include the courses offered.
Yep.
The list of approved courses shall include traditional offerings, blah, blah, blah. The list shall also include description of the content and of each approved course, documented related to the course and approved, and documentation related to the instruction of each course.
So that's a course catalog.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it is.
Just making note of it.
Okay.
Okay. And then I think you had one other question, correct?
Yeah, the final policy was on graduation requirements. I know that we had a discussion on this, and then we kind of moved on into graduation requirements. And on at the very end of the policy, the third paragraph from the bottom. Tell me when you're there.
5460.
5460, graduation requirements.
It's like at the very end.
Yes. Go to the end of the policy. Okay. Tell me when you're there.
A lot of scrolling.
Still scrolling.
They're still scrolling.
Oh, I went by it.
Yeah, it's almost at the very end.
So look at that third paragraph on the bottom. High school students shall be granted credit for completion of an internship or work experience that meets all of the requirements subject to the board's right to deny credit for reasons in the manner set out in that policy, the appeal right set out in the statute apply in the event of this denial.
So I believe that is what Courtney was talking about. That was co-op or work-based learning. That's the reception. Ann Knabush runs that at the high school. There's a big reception at the end of the year with employees and employers and students.
Right.
It's an elective.
That never
comes
to the board, so how would the board ever reject it? Just questioning. We don't do anything with workforce. So.
No, it's an elective credit.
Yeah, because it just says subject to the board's right to deny credit for reasons and manner set out in that. We don't do that. Not that I'm aware of.
You don't do what? Deny credit for work?
We don't know about anything work-related. Like, it's not anything that we ever see, do, hear about, or know about.
Yep. And so this is in there because it's referencing the MCL. And so the MCL has a process for work-based learning. And then if a school denies work-based learning, there's an appeal process for work-based learning and that. And that's all that this is pointing out right here is that there is a process that's.
I'm just saying it. We're approving the policy that said the board has the right to deny that, as the Board of Education.
I'm assuming that's part of the MCL.
It is. So it would be part of that. The idea here is that you would be able to re...
That wouldn't be us.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be us.
Yes.
It wouldn't be us then.
It doesn't name somebody else.
It's just the law stating that we can deny...
Specifically says the board.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because it looked like the board had an involvement there and I'm like, we've never been involved. Do we need to clarify that? That was it?
Thank you.
Simple.
Okay, so we have a motion. Any further discussion I should ask?
Do I need to amend to pull all those off?
That's kind of clear as mud if you want to...
Yeah.
Just go.
You want to, maybe you should...
Put a vote up.
Repeat your amendment?
All right.
To pull those? You have them listed there that you're pulling?
Yeah. We're pulling 14, 22, 14.
That'd be helpful.
I'll let Andy him walk me through this. Okay, I'm going to amend my motion to pull policy 1422. Do I need to read them?
Nope, just numbers is good enough.
1422.02, 1662, 3122, 3122.02, 33.3362, 4122, 4122.02.
That one more page.
4362 and 5460. And approve all others as presented. Thank you, Andy.
Yep.
Support?
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment of pulling these?
There was one mistake.
I made one wrong?
Yeah, the 5460 is, it stays put. That's the graduation one. I had circled it because there's one that I was...
I withdraw 4160. Jamie, can you get that all in there?
5460.
5460. Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please don't make me repeat all that again.
Just to be clear, I'm going to list the ones that we're actually going to do the first reading.
I love that. That's a better way to do it, bro.
1623, 2210, 226001, 2412, 3123, 3362, 4123.
No, 3362 is pulled.
Oh, that's pulled as well. I missed that one. Sorry. Okay. 4123, 4162, 5120, 5460, and 7541.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have a circle in it.
You got it.
Okay.
Oh, my.
So, Jamie, any further discussion? Jamie, can we have
Roll call.
Roll call.
Whatever you want to call it.
On the motion as amended.
Yes, you can. Mrs. Rossi.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes, and the motion carries. Okay, now we'll move into old business, and I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the old business.
All right, so state fiscal monitoring, Cassie and I had our meeting with them yesterday.
Yesterday, yep. We did speak about the process with the forthcoming results of the fiscal audit, which the board was notified about. They said the action... Sorry, yes, sir.
So the board was notified about it, but we might publicly...
Correct.
Speak of it. Can we publicly speak of it?
It was brought up.
If you would like me to, I have reservations about stating the amount just because the audit is not fully finalized.
Okay.
But I can indicate that we are showing exceeding our general fund balance and going into deficit if that...
Okay, that would be sufficient. That's fine.
For the purpose of...
Yep.
And so with that, our monthly reporting would transition from the Department of Treasury to the Michigan Department of Education. And MDE did indicate, because Mr. Shaw and I did notify them as well, that is how the audit was looking, that because there's nothing approved at present that shows that we're going into deficit, the action wouldn't occur from the state until the point at which the audit is approved that shows we do have a general fund deficit. And then at that time, MDE will advise on the timeline and process for submitting the deficit elimination plan. And the reporting is very, very similar to what I was already doing for the early warning, and there will be monthly meetings in that. And a lot of the work for the deficit elimination plan would be part of the budgetary reductions that we did in the spring. Mm-hmm. And there is also some narrative information. I just briefly looked at the template they have out there. There is some narrative information to give context to the numbers in that. As long as we anticipate coming out of deficit within 5 years, then the reporting would stay with MDE.
5 years?
So that it's the legal, it's their legal. So if it's, if your deficit elimination plan is 5 years or less, you stay with MDE. If the district is projecting that they won't be out of deficit until over the 5 years, then your reporting goes back to Treasury. So that was the only, that was the distinction I was trying to make there. I apologize for making it seem like I didn't mean to give you a heart palpitations.
We have an anticipation for when the audit will be completed.
It is typically presented to the board at the first meeting in October. All their field work has been completed, but there's a lot of additional notes and information compiling that they do on their end. I don't anticipate any further adjusting entries. But just because it's not, we don't have the draft yet, I don't want to say this is the number, and then they come in October and say, nope, it's this other
number.
Who
did the audit?
Calkins.
I just wanted to verify.
Let me
make
sure their name, because it's changed a couple times. I believe it is still Calkins, Hale, and Rafco this year.
This is the same audit they always do.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this the first time? This is the first time I've ever heard of it coming out that shows anything. I don't recall.
This would be the first time that we enter deficit, yes.
The first time that the audit identified such a large range of discrepancy.
It's not identifying a discrepancy. It's just...
I'm trying to find the word to say what we'll call it.
This is just preliminarily letting you and the public know that this is how it showed. The revenues that came in were a little bit less than I projected, which caused us to, because we've eaten into our fund balance the last several years, there wasn't as much of a cushion there. So then we exceeded what we had in fund balance.
That's why it's so dangerous to have.
Correct.
And let it get anywhere near that.
Correct. And they did say once the draft audit is available, we could submit that to them, but we did not commit to doing or not doing that. We went through the same kind of questions we do every month about enrollment, what it was looking like with the school starting next week, when I would have a budget amendment, which I've committed to getting that to the board in November. And then they asked for updates on grants, which I just submitted the consolidated app for our title grants, major cash inflows and outflows, and then any debt things that we had going on, which was the Apple technology lease closed in July. We closed on the bus note for that purchase at the end of June. Our state aid note did come through last week, and that we don't have any future debt planned at this time. And then we asked about the timeline of submission for the deficit elimination plan, and they advised that the MDE folks would reach out once there is that board-approved document showing the deficit. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Shaw also asked if they have been seeing any uptick in early warning or deficit districts throughout the state. And they have noticed a trend of increased usages of fund balance. And there's been some interesting trends of revenues and expenditures per pupil, that the expenditures have increased greatly over time, even though enrollment is slowing, not just at our district, throughout the state. So they do anticipate seeing additional districts identified for early warning or potentially deficit districts.
Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat again. I'm curious, Cass, exactly where are we at? Now, this audit, this was based on the original budget where we were figuring on getting $100 more per student.
No, this.
Let me finish what I was going to say. Or is this going to be based on the 250 that the state actually budgeted along with that 32 AA money?
Neither. This audit was on the 2025-2026 actual and what we had initially, what I initially budgeted, final budgeted, and what the actuals of revenue. So this is all last year, and this isn't on the current year that we've just started.
Okay.
So it's where it's.
I misunderstood
where
you were coming from. Okay.
And it's just, it will affect the amendment because what I had projected us starting at fund balance is now not that. So it will affect how things look for the budget amendment, but I'm confident with the additional per pupil allowance, hopefully a favorable pupil count, and some other grant opportunities that hopefully that will help matters. Because we are going to look for, as Mr. Shaw has indicated as well, ways to utilize those grant funds to offset non-recurring items in our general fund. Not necessarily staffing-wise, looking at those allowable uses for perhaps using those for things that we're potentially already doing and freeing up some of that general fund money by shifting expenditures to grants.
So let me see if I can communicate what I'm thinking. We needed to pull $2 million out of the budget February of, what year was that, 25, 26? We identified, I think it was 25. Then we identified we needed to pull $5.5 million out of the budget. We did the budget amendment, right, and for the new budget, and reduced it by 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
And we're essentially off by a significant amount. And I don't want to give the amount because the actual hasn't been given out either. So therein lies the situation. So the projected numbers that would get us a fund balance of something, anything respectable, was not sufficient. Have I gotten that right?
Sort of. Yes.
Essentially, that's the basis. I understand there's more details, mm-hmm. but essentially that's the basis because that was the budget that was. And when you looked at it, there was a thought. The other thing I wanted to look at is I know in this was dated March 31st of 2026. So I had asked for financial information on a monthly basis. So we got this back at the end of March, and it was a general fund budget versus actual. And what it does, and it gives you revenue, expenditures, supporting services, it goes through it all. It gives object level expenditures in it as well. And it tells you where you're at in the percentage of your budget that you've spent. And we know what's significant about this is nothing is over 100% as of the end of March in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you look at this, when we got this in March, you would go, okay, we're good. But so my question is, I've requested these before. I would like to get these on a regular basis, monthly, to update them monthly that we can track ourselves where things are at and what they look like. Because, you know, we're sitting here in August, and as of March, at the end of March, the reporting we got was nothing is over budget. I get these at other places I do things with.
And don't mistake what I said for saying that we spent over our budget.
Well,
we did not. No, ma'am, we did not. Our budget expenditures were in alignment with our expenditure budget. Our revenues came in lower than we budgeted. So then a reduction of revenue, but our expenditures stayed the same, meant our expenditures further exceeded what I projected for actually came in for the revenues.
Yeah. So I'm just referencing this.
And I believe I indicated in board briefs recently that in July and August, until we've posted the accrual reversal entries, which we can't do until the audit is almost finished, giving you the data point right now would show a significant amount of 25-26 expenditures in the ledger, because I have to, not just me, my team has to accrue expenditures that are related to last year. So such as the summer spread payroll for all of your teachers. Right now, that shows in last year and this year because we are not permitted to post our reversal entries yet. So I could give you the data, but it would not make a whole lot of sense.
So when do you anticipate that we could start getting those?
I believe in my board brief, I indicated I would have you through August in early September.
Okay, and then monthly.
And then monthly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't always remember everything. It's an 150-page board brief. So thank you, Cassie.
Yep.
So more to come on that. Our next item was SEL. And so based on our last night's conversations, SEL, the discussion there, more to come. We shared that early October, early mid-October, you'll have the committee work and the committee will be created, and that will all be in place for the board. And then we'll also keep the board apprised, too, of the whole board apprised, because there will be a couple people from the board on that committee, apprised of the programs that are being looked at. And then the last one was retention. Through the conversations last night of retention, it was discussed that could be potentially removed. So that would take
I would say that maybe we need to keep that on. We had an email this afternoon about some retention concerns. So if everyone on the board can check your email and read through that.
Get those. I don't see them early afternoon.
I didn't see it until sitting here.
Right.
But there's definitely some questions about the retention, the forms, any tools, or whatever the district uses to consider retention. I think that we need to see those, that IRIP, the goal setting process for the IRIP, and it also talked about the iReady questions, the actual test. I don't know if we've ever seen like a demo of what those questions might look like for, you know, a first grader, a third grader, a sixth grader.
I think there's some sample login types of things that you could provide too.
Yeah, maybe we could do that when we're talking about, I'm guessing the iRIP is based on the iReady. Is that why it's I? Labeled I? It's not.
No.
Okay.
No.
What does IRIP stand for?
iPhone.
I know, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not based on iReady scores?
It is partially based on iReady scores, yes.
Okay. So that was the.
And the other step, I would assume.
I don't think so. I think it's just iReady.
Just iReady. Okay.
So that was some of the discussion in that.
We'll find it. We'll find that email.
Move it back to a work session.
Yeah, but we'll keep it on old business.
Yeah. But add it to a work session agenda item.
Yeah.
Can we do that earlier? I don't know if we have time in September, maybe.
We'll take a look at the agendas there.
Yeah.
We got to find that email first.
Or maybe around that parent-teacher conference time when they're actually looking at that information. That might be a good time for us to look at it, too.
Well, we can still schedule it, regardless if we see the email or not.
Yeah.
The board
I know what they're requesting.
Carrie's requesting is what I'm talking about.
No. Well, it was put in the email, so you know what they're looking for. It's on there. I put a note to make sure that we are looking at work session.
We will leave it on.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all for old business.
That's old business. I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his second set of comments.
Okay, so just a few items. First is we had our all staff welcome back meeting this morning, and I appreciate everyone that was able to come and take part. Open houses are this Thursday evening. First day of class is next Monday morning. Those buses will be going around for all of our students. Bus routes went live last week, and so when you're talking to people out there please make sure that they look and see, because if their child isn't on a bus, they need to call or email transportation right now. That would take make things a lot easier. And then our athletics are all gearing up and getting going. Our first football game is this Friday, and then we'll be home next Thursday, which is military night and first responders evening. And I'm excited because, again, for everyone that's able to take part in the this morning, our band sounds amazing.
Yeah, it did sound very good.
And so I'm sorry for that. One last item, I was asked to discuss about suspensions and expulsions and guidance, an idea around what we operate underneath as for a school with students who either come in from outside of our district or are in our district. So how this works is everything is underneath MCL.
Why wouldn't we just do this in a work session rather than superintendent comments? Yeah, that way we can do, I mean, we can discuss it, but I mean, I'm just saying this is probably going to be a discussionary item that we can have the notes so we can.
I'm good.
I'm just suggesting that, you know, we don't have the notes. We don't have what you're looking at.
Nope.
And this is the expulsion.
Yep.
Yeah. This is the student from out of the district.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll bring that in.
But because of the expulsion conversation before.
Yeah. I will add that.
Because I don't think that was on a work session yet, was it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Nope.
That would clarify the other thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Can't think what it's called.
Got it. I have no other comments.
Okay. Okay, public commentary. Any topic? Brian, do we have some?
Yeah, we have two.
Okay.
So, Katie Beth, if you want to come forward first.
Sure.
I'm going to time 3 minutes. As everybody knows me, I'm fairly generous as long as you're making a cogent argument and you're not ranting in any way, shape, or form. We're good. I will tell you in 30 seconds. I'm not going to do the 3, 2, 1. I'm not doing that.
You sure? I'm ready.
I'm just doing 30 seconds.
Okay.
So I'll let you know in 30 seconds, okay?
Okay, sounds good. My name is Katie Beth Davis. I have two kids. One is now at Cantrick and the other at Custer Elementary. I wanted to talk tonight about the use of district symbols on political campaign materials and the resulting state level review. Last election cycle for MPS board members, during public comments then, Superintendent Shaw explained that while the Trojan logo is widely used, the district coat of arms is extremely distinct and uniquely representative of MPS. So that clarification is what raised my concerns about how the district is branding and how our stuff is used and protected. This year, campaign signs appeared using both the Trojan logo and the coat of arms. When I asked about this, I was told the matter had been addressed, but no explanation was provided to the public about what that meant or how the issue was handled. At the same time, public statements were made claiming that the signs did not violate any district policies or state election rules, and that the coat of arms was only covered because of a misspelling, which is concerning enough that there's a candidate that would have a misspelling on their sign for public display. Those conflicting explanations created confusion for the community and prompted me to seek clarity through the appropriate legal channels. As a result, I filed a legal complaint with the Michigan Bureau of Elections, and the Bureau has now opened up a formal case, Davis v. Heck. The state is reviewing two issues under the Michigan Campaign Finance Act, Section 57 and Section 47. What was brought up tonight was about that there was possibly a deficit, and maybe possibly we can look into actually trademarking our logos so that businesses like Myers, All Heart Athletics, CVS, and Walgreens can't sell Monroe Trojan stuff without us getting some sort of income from it. So thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Stephen Meyer. Hold on a second. Let me get my... Okay, you're coming up. So, all right. Good. Ready?
Yes. My name is Stephen Meyer. I live here in the city of Monroe. I want to echo the previous comments. The last time I spoke to the board was 2 years ago when there was another candidate that was, two candidates that were using the Trojan logo. And at the time I brought that up at the board meeting and the superintendent pointed to the TV screen and said, the coat of arm is extremely distinct. And the reason I'm not like a giant policy pedantic, vigilant about enforcing policy, but it just seemed plainly wrong that somebody running for a position to make policy would feel the entitlement to steal district assets for a political campaign. Whether or not there's some loophole in the policy that would allow for that, it's just plain wrong either way. And So I brought up, I said, will this be enforced? And at the time, the superintendent told me that the athletic director was working on trademarking it. And I've followed up with emails and never gotten a response about where that stands. And then, yeah, I got this, the exact same message that the previous commenter got, it that this has been addressed. And so I wrote back and I said, how has this been addressed? Because I've got 2 years of emails that have not been replied to about this. And I think it also sets a bad example for students. If we're trying to teach students against theft and against plagiarism, that people are setting the district policy, are stealing and plagiarizing the district assets. And so I feel like there's only one way that those signs don't violate district policy is if the superintendent approved it. So my question 2 years ago, which never got answered, was did the superintendent approve the use of the district symbols on political signs? I never got an answer to that. And so if those have been approved, then how else can people steal and use them, the district's assets? And then if not, then what is the district doing about enforcing the policy? That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any others? That's it. Okay. Board member commentary? We can start.
I'm ready.
Okay.
You can start whichever one.
Why don't you start, Brian, since you're ready?
I think the trademark discussion that you just had, and my understanding is once the Trojan logo was basically taken and used. Oh.
You're done. Time's up.
Good, I'm done. Once that happened, it was very hard to rein the Trojan head back in, because that Trojan head is very used widely. I think we did make a decision that we have the color and the, so we tell anybody who tries to use it, this is the color palette we want you to use that references Monroe. But I don't think we have any ability to trademark that anymore because of that. Coat of arms, I have no idea. So, but I just was bringing that up on the trademarking of that. I did want to read something to all the teachers, administrators, assistants, bus drivers, everybody. I read this last year, so indulge me for a couple minutes. I think it's worth reading about the value of our teachers and the value that all of the administrators, everybody brings. To every teacher about to begin again, there's something sacred about this time of year. The world doesn't pause for it, but we do. We tidy up rooms, rework bulletin boards, restock our desk drawers with things no one else ever notices, all for the sake of what's coming. And what's coming isn't just students, it's opportunity, it's impact, it's legacy. And whether you feel ready or not, you're about to become part of someone's story again. It might not be obvious at first. The kid who won't look up, the one who sighs every time you speak, the one who walks in carrying a world you'll never fully understand. But here's the truth. Your consistency will matter more than your content. Your time will matter more than your title. And your presence will matter more than your perfection ever could. Every year, I remind teachers of this. You are not the system. You're the exception to it. You're the one who turns test takers into risk takers, who sees the child before the checklist, who shows up even when it feels like no one notices you do. And if this year feels heavy, don't forget, some kids are walking through your doors needing one adult to believe in them, just one, not because you have all the answers, but because you looked them in the eye and said, I see something in you, and meant it. That's the kind of teaching that outlasts standards, the kind that can't be measured, but will never be forgotten. So as you step into a new year, remember this, you don't need to be perfect, just present. You don't need a magic lesson, just a moment that makes a kid feel seen. You don't need to save the world, just reach the one in front of you, because that's how the world changes anyway. Thank you for everything you give to children who aren't even your own. The world doesn't thank you nearly enough, but I see you and I'm grateful. That's it for my time.
Okay. Thank you. Carrie?
Oh, Brian, I had to follow you.
I will never get to do this again. That's why I did it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for reading that. The one thing I wanted to bring up is the bus times. If we can get last year, remember the bus time report and the extensions. If we can get updates.
The worst case.
Just kind of where we're at with that to ensure that no students are on the buses over an hour, I think, which is what our standard is. So that appreciate if we could get that report. Thanks.
That will be probably in about a week because it.
Yeah, I think it won't be.
It's going to be after the bus. So really get going, okay?
Yeah.
The first week's tough.
You can bring it to the next board meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming all the new buses are being used?
Yes, they are.
Good.
All electronics are on.
Okay.
Gary? That was my question.
That's all I got. I want to know about the new buses.
Stacy?
I just have to say that our current board is working on writing the ship. We're focusing more on student outcome and making the school a better place for our students and families. I think this board is working well together, and I'm hoping that that's what our families are focusing on.
Dennis. Just to wrap it up, I was really very encouraged by the, it's almost like a pep rally this morning for the introduction to the new school year, plus with the band and that. So thank you to the high school for doing that. Hopefully Mary feels better and can be back for our next meeting. Okay, and that's it.
Gary, you have no comment?
Nope. I stole his comment.
I wanted to ask about the buses.
Buses.
Tom took it away from me, so now I don't have nothing.
Okay. That concludes our agenda for this evening. Our next regular Board of Education meeting will be held Tuesday, September 8th, 2026, and begin at 7 p.m. Our regular work session will be held before the board meeting starting at 5:30 p.m. And again, those are live streamed. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
You have a motion to adjourn.
Can I have support?
Support.
Show of hands. Okay. The Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, August 25th, 2020.